questions, trying to keep eye on you like a hurt, lost, and blinded.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Kind of an ironic choice of music, Mr. Dugan, Losing My Religion with our so-called religious segment with Pastor Drew Sams. I like that. You can email me at bruce@brucesallan.com. That's Bruce and Sallan, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sams, Pastor Drew Sams. He is our guest for Teen Rap, and Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 6 years. And he's also finishing up doctoral work through George Fox Seminary. I gather he has just turned in his thesis. Congratulations, Pastor Drew.
Why, thank you.
And Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, who live in Westlake Village, California, are expecting a baby Drew in the near future. So as we do each week, let's have a health and baby update.
Well, everything is great. Thanks for always asking. In fact, tomorrow night, Friday night, we're going in for a 3D ultrasound. And I asked my wife, I said, do we need to wear 3D glasses?
Oh, God.
Thinking this could be fun.
A 3D ultrasound. Dude, that means that they it probably just means that they rotate the image.
Yes, they rotate the image. I was thinking this is going to be like Avatar, or, you know. Maybe we could keep our glasses, take them home with us. But literally, God. So they can rotate the image.
Oh, God!
And they record it, so I'll have it.
I got a little bit of that when I had kids. It's of course, further along so many years later since I was a first-time dad. But I always thought that the kids growing up today will literally have potential memories of them from the womb on.
Well, it's so true, especially with social media. I have friends who've started Facebook pages for their unborn children,
mm-hmm.
and they're already putting on their profile pic, you know, ultrasound picture or what have you. So I don't know if you've seen on Facebook the new timeline. So here you've got, even the negative months before their date
know,
of birth.
I know.
It's amazing.
One of the things I've actually thought of in that regard is I know that my memories of my childhood are few. But because my kids have much of their early childhood videoed, they've gone back and I converted a lot of those old VHS and Super 8 tapes to DVDs, and they've looked at them. And now these memories are much more vivid in their mind. And I sometimes wonder, do they actually have the memory of the event, or do they have the memory stimulated by the video? Do you understand the distinction?
That's a great question.
I mean, do they really remember it, or do they just now remember seeing it on video?
Hmm.
And I'm not sure, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter because it triggers something. And however it is, they do have that memory. When the kids went through, I think I may have shared this with you, but when the kids went through all the videos that I did wisely transferred to a DVD, because anything on tape does deteriorate. And in fact, some of my early home videos that were on Super 8, not all of them were even good 6, 7, 8 years later. Most of them were, thank God. But I transferred them. And my older son, who is now 18 and applying to college, there was one scene where we were in Hawaii. He was still in diapers, and his mother, my ex-wife, was sitting on a lounge in Hawaii, and he was walking around in his diaper and his sun suit, you know, the sun-protected shirt. And he was walking around, and I was videotaping basically this non-event, except that at one point he looks at his mom, and his mom says, I don't want to say his name, but, it looks like you have to do something. And my son looks up at his mother, and at one point he lets out something that sounds like, "Oish!" And what he was doing, of course, was going to the bathroom. And when the boys saw that, when they were teenagers, they just couldn't get over it. And it gave my younger son this great ammunition to embarrass his older brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, I better use that against him.
Oh,
later.
He's been using it ever since, and he mimics that sound of, "Oish!" This is perfect.
That's great.
So let's talk about, you know, parents being cool.
Well, that makes you a cool dad, the fact that you not only recorded but converted them to DVD for them to watch, you know. Who knows, it'll be Blu-ray next.
Well, yeah, it will be Blu-ray. I mean, you can do that now on your phone. And I just bought a GoPro video cam. I don't know if you've seen any of my ski videos.
Yes, I have.
I can't believe it. This tiny little thing takes HD quality videos, and I've done like 20 of them because I'm experimenting to learn how to do it before we go heli-skiing in March.
Well, you can put it on your helmet. You can mount it on your – I've seen people put it on the tip of their ski pole and hold it out in front of them. If they're snowboarding, let's say.
Well, there's actually – I have three mounts. I have one that's on my helmet, one that's called a chesty that goes right across your chest and it's right in the middle of your you know where your heart is, except in the middle. And then there's a wrist mount where which is mostly for boarders. Surfers sometimes put them on the boards themselves. It's an amazing device, and it's
really
and it's so small. Plus it takes still pictures. It's astonishing.
I didn't know it took still pictures.
That's great. Yeah, I got a still picture because you can set it to take still pictures at intervals of from every half second to every 30 seconds. So a ski run for me is never more than 2 to 3 minutes. I set it for one particular time when I went over a jump, and I had it set at to take a picture every half second.
Wow.
And one of the pictures caught me jumping. So you saw the skis in the air. From my perspective, it was on the helmet camera. You saw the landing where the jump, where I was going to be. But what was so darn cool, because it's wide angle, you saw on the far right of the still picture, you saw a shadow of me in the air.
Wow.
All taken by this helmet camera. It was amazing.
Boy, if you had the editing equipment, you could do some neat stop motion.
Oh, I do. Everybody has
it.
Really
neat.
Everybody has it. I mean, I'm putting in music on these videos and dissolves and credits. I mean, the technology is just unbelievable.
So I got a question for you.
Yes.
So are you doing this to be cool, or are you doing it because you love it?
I'm doing it for the latter. It has nothing to be cool.
Yeah, but that makes
I love it. I just love it.
You know, I think that the true definition of cool is just being
who you
comfortable
are.
With who you are, and whatever that is. And that makes you cool, the fact that you're doing this out of the love of it. But boy, I think there are times in the parenting journey where a parent might have to step outside their comfort zone. Maybe they've got a son who doesn't play sports like them, but instead, is really into history.
Or the other way around.
Exactly.
That mom and dad don't play sports and they have an athletic kid.
Yeah, what do you do then? And so I think sometimes just being available and being willing to step outside a parent's comfort zone for their kid to explore something new, I think, boy, that goes a long way.
I got to believe that a pastor's son or pastor's daughter, there are unique challenges, because I can't imagine mom and dad aren't going to have an expectation of a certain sense of piousness or belief or religiosity that they hope their child will carry.
Yeah, because I've never grown up as a pastor's son. My parents, weren't in ministry at all. And I've heard horror stories. I had friends who were the son or daughter of a pastor or a religious leader, and it seemed like the majority of them just went off the deep end because there was so much expectation, there was so much pressure to be pious, as you said, to be perfect. And so my wife and I have talked a lot about that.
Well, your wife also has pressure, just being the pastor's wife.
Oh, tremendously. And, and for her background, coming from Texas, where, the pastor's wife played the organ, there's even more pressure there, I think, than California, where we live now. So the last thing we want is to create an environment where our son, and if we have more kids down the line, that they would feel just crushed in terms of this overwhelming pressure. It's going to be tough.
Well, you're going to do it well, and you have me to bounce stuff.
Yes,
off. We are out of time. I do want to announce, just to put a little pressure on you, that we are going to be co-hosting a dad chat in the future called God, Sex, and Teens.
You heard it here first, so it's official.
Yes, I don't know when exactly, but we are going to have a very stimulating chat in which Pastor Drew and some of his kids from the church will be participating. Quickly tell our listeners where they can find you, Pastor Drew.
Yes, I will be back blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com now that my dissertation is all done.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Got to go. We will be back after this break with special guest Sharon Lecter.